Hello, my name is Carlos McWhorter, and today I'm going to talk about the 9 things that you have to have in your financial plan in order to have the lifestyle that you desire. So today is episode 7 of the Roadmap to Wealth podcast. So let's get into it. So when it comes to financial planning, the whole point of the financial plan is for you to plan out your personal life. There's no one size fits all. I don't care what anybody says. There's no one size or one plan fits all. It's about you, your tendencies, your goals, your future, your desires, how you want to live, your personal lifestyle. That's what the financial plan is for, and that's what it's about. But many people don't understand how to put a plan together, and they fail to either include the proper things into their plan, or they just don't think all the way through the things that they need to think about. So that's the point of this podcast here, to go through those 9 things and discuss how you need to look at them, how you need to think about them. So you need a financial plan because a plan is going to help you become more successful. A written plan even helps you even more, because with a written plan, research shows that you are 42% more likely to be successful in reaching your goals once the plan is written. When it's written, there's more clarity. There's something to reference. You see it. It adds a level of accountability and communication that you need to execute the plan. So we're going to talk about those 9 things that you need to consider. So, of course, number 1 is the more obvious one. It's retirement. You need to think about retirement. Now, you need to think about a few things. Number 1, you need to think about when you desire to retire. So do you want to retire early? Do you want to retire around the typical age? Or do you plan on working a little bit longer just because you don't want to sit around? Maybe you just enjoy your job, so you want to stay on it for a little bit longer, or even work a few more years to increase the amount of Social Security that you're going to get. What are your plans around that? And the reason is, if you're going to plan to retire early, you need to invest more than the typical person. You need to make sure you're allocating more to your investment accounts, putting more money away to satisfy that early retirement. And sometimes you don't actually understand or know the age. So at 41, I might not know exactly when I want to retire, but I can know whether that's going to be early, on time, or late based on my preferences. So you at least need to know that. Now, that said, you have to think about a few things concerning retirement. Number 1, you have to think about not just getting to retirement, but surviving it. You need to plan and make sure you have enough finances to cover healthcare costs, medical costs, and discover your lifestyle. How much do you want to travel? How involved do you plan on being as far as maybe giving to family members? Like how do you want to live? How do you want your retirement to look? Where do you want to live? These things matter and need to be a part of your plan, obviously. So when it comes to retirement, it is the number 1 reason to have a financial plan. So obviously that's going to be number 1 on the list. Number 2 is education. So to the parents out there, consider this. Education cost has increased about 175% since the year 2000. So if you have young kids, you're looking at costs probably going upwards of 100% from where they are now when it comes to education costs, if this trend continues. So you have to consider a few things. You have to consider how much money you're going to put away to save for their college. What is your savings goal for college the day they step on campus? You want to be at what dollar amount? You got to think about this, because as that money is invested, you really only have to be worried about year number 1 during year number 1, or you only have to pay for year number 1 that first year. So that money can still be invested for year 2, 3, and 4, still earning some money. Then of course year 2, you got to take care of year 2. You still have 2 more years of expenses that could be invested, earning some dividends and still growing. So you have to think about what's your target amount to have day 1 when that child steps on campus. Think about that goal. And even if you can't save enough to reach that goal right off the bat, start saving. Of course, you're going to increase that savings and hopefully you can reach that target, but you have to start. You got to start getting that thing rolling to invest for those education costs. So number 3 in the plan, vehicles, your car. We all need, typically, most of us, certain people either don't drive based on where they live or how they're living, but most of us, we're going to have a vehicle. So we have to plan right now you can plan out how many cars you're going to own for your life. You can plan out every 6 years, 7 years, however, whatever it is, you can plan the purchase of the car, the estimated value when it's time to get a new car, if you're going to trade it in, what the value might be for a down payment. You can plan to just use your car for a down payment or plan to invest and save for a down payment as well. You can plan all of these things out throughout your life. So this is something that's very important, because with the average right now, the average payment is about $750 for new cars, a little bit lower, maybe about $550, $575 for used cars. So the car expenses are messing a lot of people up when it comes to their budget and just monthly living, because they spend so much on car, and then car insurance has gone up, and fuel, of course, we understand that vehicles are putting a lot of stress on Americans. So you want to make sure you are effectively planning for that vehicle. And some things to just remember, the goal is to stay out of trouble when it comes to your vehicle. You want to invest at least 20% as a down payment. Afterwards, you want to try to get your loan terms less than 48 months. That's 4 years or less. Those two guidelines typically save people when it comes to buying a car that they can afford. Now, if it's a luxury car, if it's something that's a little bit higher than your budget, typically you can have that car if you plan for it, which means you might not be able to get it right now. Maybe 2, 3, even 4 years of effectively planning, then you can put enough money down to be able to afford that payment, and it can be reasonable. So just plan out how you want that to look. What type of car do you want? How many cars do you plan on buying throughout your lifetime? Like, literally, there's plans and illustrations that financial planners do, and I do it as well for some people, where you can actually see the timing of when they're going to buy a car and how much those cars could cost, and just estimates. Even though they're not exact, you want some type of visual that you can see that plans that out. Always want to have that benchmark. Number four, vacations. Many people are taking vacations and putting it on their credit card. Sometimes these vacations are maybe last minute, not really planned. Not really, you want to go on vacation, but you're not really sure what you're going to do. So you don't really plan for it, because it's not in a written plan for you to actually see and expect those costs coming up in the future. Then the vacation comes and we end up either spending more than we planned or not really planning for it. And now we're in the hole for the vacation. And of course, the vacation is necessary to improve mental health, to bond with friends and family, to reduce stress. It's necessary to have these vacations, but simply put it in your plan. So with my philosophy, I don't think there's so much that you have to just deny yourself for. You can pretty much have what you want as long as it's within your plan. You just have to potentially not have as much as you want, but you can still have those experiences. Again, plan. So make sure your vacations are in your plan and you're putting away money each month, so that whenever you do have those vacations, you have that pot and you have it ready and you can go without having added stress financially because you're in the hole or you're overextended for that vacation. So an example would be, you want to take 2 vacations per year. One will be international, one will be domestic. You kind of average out what those costs are going to be. Now you know what your monthly allocation to that vacation fund is going to look like. Plain and simple, just figure that out, put something together. Now, always remember, when it comes to this financial plan, it's a guideline for the most part. You want to make sure there's some room for variance, because things do pop up, things do happen. And you don't want a plan that's so strict where you can't address your issues and the needs when you have them. So make sure you have something in place and you can always change. I recommend looking at your plan at least once per year and making the necessary changes and going from there. So number five, we have weddings. So the cost of weddings are ranging between $14,000 to $49,000. And most people are going into debt just for the wedding event. Now, I understand you have a ton of costs. You have your travel, you have your venue, the catering, the cake. There's so much going on and there's so many expensive things that goes into a wedding. So I understand the high cost. However, make sure you're planning for it. I'm not going to say don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say I may recommend that you don't spend as $50,000 for it. At the same time, I kind of get it. People want to do what they want to do. They want to spend what they want to spend for that special day. Totally understandable, as long as you plan for it. So just make sure, if that's a consideration, that you're putting money aside and making sure that you're not putting you or your parents in a stressful situation for that day. So that's one of the things that you always want to plan for. Now, number six, we have properties. Now, we have five categories here when you're thinking about the properties you may want to own now or in the future. So, of course, you have your primary residence as number one. Then you may have to consider investment properties and down payments for that and how you're going to finance those properties. Then you may want a vacation home. That's another one. Do you want a vacation home in retirement, or when do you plan on acquiring that vacation home and the estimated cost of that based on where that vacation home is? Any land purchases, and also lastly, home improvements. These are the things that you have to think about when it comes to property. Make sure you're planning on these, because you got kitchens that can cost $30,000 to renovate, and maybe that's something you want to do instead of buying a new home. Maybe you just want to do some renovations. That still can get pretty pricey, and you want to make sure whatever that long-term fund is for that saving fund is for those home improvements or any land or, you know, vacation or investment properties. You want to make sure it's in your plan and you're putting money away for that. Number seven, we have asset purchases. Asset purchases are kind of, you know, lifestyle purchases. Any boats, RVs, jet skis, motorcycles, for people who are into art, got a plan for that. Also the watches and jewelry. Certain things that you know you want, you know you're into. I really enjoy watches. So if I want to get that Rolex, I'm going to put it in my plan, put a date out in the future, and kind of allocate money towards that, because that's a goal that I want to have. So you always want to think about those things. Like, sometimes we see wealthy people with these things, but we just assume they have wealth and they can afford it, so they go and get it. But we never assume that that person actually planned to go to auctions at this time in their life and purchase the art and make sure that their money was there, or certain jewelry pieces. We don't really think about that being documented in their financial plan, but a lot of times it is. So that's something that you can do now. Even if you can't afford it now, put it in your plan. If you know that's what you want, put it in front of you, write it down and plan for it. Another asset purchase you have to think about are businesses. Many people who want a business and want to grow a business, we have an opportunity now with so many baby boomers retiring soon. Lots of businesses are going to be for sale. So this is something that you want to consider. Now, of course, when it comes to these things that are, you know, these businesses that are already cash flowing, there's opportunities for financing there where you may not have to put up enough money or a lot of money to get it. You do want to be in a solid financial position, because you're going to have to qualify to get that money. Sometimes our personal finances are going to be evaluated to make sure we are somebody who can handle this loan, or somebody who can produce some funding ourselves in case the business starts to run into trouble. So this is something you always want to think about. Gifts, number eight. Think about the type of giver you are, the type of person you want to be as far as giving, whether it's charitable giving to certain causes or certain religious organizations, or if you're somebody who likes to buy gifts for your friends for your birthday, or you're a big spender during Christmas, whatever that is, make sure gifting is a part of your plan. You want to consider the gifts that you want to give the people. You don't want to be in a position where somebody's birthday, a good friend or family member, you want to do something, but it's not in the plan. You're trying to figure out what to do. You definitely don't want to get swiped the card because you don't have the cash to fund the gift. So you want to make sure your gifting is considered in your plan. And number nine, the last one, is legacy. Think about the type of assets you want to leave for your family. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to envision these things in the future because they may be so far off as far as thoughts, but we always talk about generational wealth, especially in the Black community. You have to think about money that you are earning, that you're putting away, that you never intend to spend. That's the only way to generate that wealth, is to have cash that you are never going to spend, is going to be invested, and it's something that you're never going to touch because it's going to be a part of your legacy passing on to your family. So you have to think about what that's going to look like. Even if you don't have the amount, you got to have an idea of what that is. And then you can put some dollars down or some amounts down that kind of encompass those ideas as far as something that's in your plan and make changes as you go. So for instance, you may say, I want to leave some land or my vacation home that I plan to acquire. I want to leave that behind. Or you may say, I want to leave a dividend portfolio so my family has passive income after I pass away. These are things that can start being part of your plan. And even that dividend income that can start influencing how you're investing, developing that passive income now, allowing that to compound and grow so that it's substantial years down the road. So you want to have an idea of the legacy or the financial legacy that you want to leave behind so that your plan is incorporates that and you're putting those actions in place now. So again, a lot of these things are hard to vision because I may want a boat, but I'm nowhere near being able to afford it. But the thing is, if you don't put it in your plan, you're probably never going to be able to afford it. So it's smart to do it now, even before you can afford it. Maybe even before you can actually put money away for it right now. Put it in your plan, put a date, get something going. And a lot of times when we do that, we figure out how to do it. The thing about this financial planning and this wealth, the more you plan, the more you think about it, the more it becomes your desire. And we have a tendency to fulfill the desires that we want, whether that's a material thing that we desire to have, we're going to sacrifice to get that thing if we really desire it. Financial freedom and wealth is the same way. When we really desire it, when we think about it, when we allow it to kind of consume us and our actions start to fall in line with those things because it gets pulled to the forefront of our desire. So you always want to figure some of this stuff out. Now, even if you don't get a professional plan in place, grab a pen and paper and start writing some of these things down so that you can start developing a plan. You may have no experience putting down a plan together. That's fine. No matter what you put down on paper, you can always change it. You can always improve it. Start planning for these things now. So again, just to conclude, the 9 things that you have to have in your financial plan to plan out your desired lifestyle. You need to plan out your retirement, education costs, vehicles throughout your life. How many do you want to own? How often do you want to acquire a new car? Your vacations. Wedding is a big one for a lot of people. Property, whether it's your primary residence, your investments, your vacation or land that you want to acquire, and home improvements, asset purchases like businesses, art, jewelry, motorcycles, and gifts, personal or charitable gifts, and legacy. What do you want to leave behind for your family? So that wraps up this episode. I hope this was very helpful to you. Hope you can start incorporating some of these things into your financial plan, and I hope to see you in the next episode.